Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another inconvenient episode from high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. We all live in Wyoming for one very simple reason, that we love our freedom, and that we want to be left alone. We're a very trusting bunch, and so when people show up on our doorstep and they say things like, we hate abortion, we love our guns, taxes are too high, I'm a conservative, and you should vote for me, we believe what they say. And so we fill in that little circle for them, and we just continue on with our business, trusting, of course, that they'll go to Cheyenne and do what they said they're going to do. More often than not, however, we are duped. And those folks who claimed to be conservative go to Cheyenne, and they do exactly the opposite of what they told us they were going to do. Worse than that, though, when those people come home, they lie to us about what happened in Cheyenne. Of course, though, it's not really a lie. We misunderstood, or we mischaracterized the way that they vote, or we just don't understand how complicated things are in the House of Representatives. What those politicians do not understand is things are not complicated to Wyoming citizens. They either are or they aren't. You do what you say you're going to do, or you don't. Wyoming citizens really don't give a crap about the nuances of a vote. Most of this past week, I've been fencing with red-coated politicians about their votes. And they all tell me the same thing. Well, you know, that's mischaracterization of what I was doing, or you missed the nuance of it. And almost all of these conversations boil down to Senate File 51. That was the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. You see, in the House of Representatives, they tried to pull it out of Redcoat Speaker of the House Eric Barlow's drawer, and most of the Redcoats voted not to do that. And so they could all claim that they didn't vote against the bill while accomplishing the very thing that they wanted to do, and that is defeat it. The response that Redcoats Landon Brown and Shelley Duncan, wearing her rhino pin, by the way, said was, well, we didn't vote against the bill, we voted against its introduction. Which, let me rephrase that for you. They didn't vote against the bill. They voted against talking about it, which is even worse, because that means that they didn't even want the debate to happen on the floor of the House, in fear that it might actually pass. Think about that. A bill that would have kept little boys out of little girls' sports couldn't even be brought up for debate in the Wyoming House of Representatives. Absolutely disgraceful. And yet all of them think they can claim that they didn't vote against the bill. You see, Wyoming citizens are not interested in the nuances of this stupid argument. While technically they're correct, they didn't vote against the bill, it's completely misleading because what all of those redcoats did had the same effect as if they had voted against the bill. It's exactly like this.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Everybody remembers that little piece of linguistic sophistry. Here's the Wyoming version of it.
I think it's a misinterpretation of the word or.
Of course, Nancy. We simpletons are just too stupid to understand the complexities of everything you folks in Cheyenne are dealing with. Now, of course, Nancy and Bill Clinton are wrong about this whole matter, that normal Wyoming citizens do understand everything that happens, if they find out about it. And therein lies one of the problems we have in Wyoming. Most people are too damn busy going to work to pay attention to all of the shenanigans that our elected officials are engaging in our capital city. Fortunately, though, we have Cowboy State Politics to show you when they're maybe mischaracterizing their own votes. Every once in a while, though, they come out at a public forum and they do most of my work for me. And that's what we're going to talk about on this morning's episode. But first, some completely egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There, you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Representative Barry Crago, and you think I've forgotten about all of the votes you did in the Wyoming legislature, well, you, sir, can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and I'll show them to you. This is going to be a gas, and to pay for all of it, let me introduce you to a couple of our sponsors. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by 307 Cowboy Country. They are central and southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. If you're in the market for a backyard shed or a greenhouse or maybe even a double-wide garage, then you need to call my friends Bryce and Melody Reese. You can call them at 307-441-1815. These two have the knowledge and expertise to get you the building that you've been wanting for your property. So you just give them a call and they'll fix you up with whatever you're in the market for. Also sponsoring this segment of the program is the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. If you're tired of the liberal Wyoming mainstream media, the Red Star or the Cowpie, then you should check out the Conservative Chronicle. They offer news based on these sticky little things called facts, you know, the things that the Red Star and the Cowpie are generally not too concerned about, and opinion from popular Wyoming conservative writers like me. It's super cheap to get a subscription to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. It's $30 a year. So go to their website, wyomingconservativechronicle.com. As I mentioned, one of the biggest problems we have in Wyoming is our legislators tell us one thing when they're at home, and then they go to Cheyenne and they do completely the opposite, and when they come back home, they tell us that they got everything accomplished that they said they were going to do. And because they know that most of us are way too busy to be paying attention to every single little thing that they do, most of the time, they're in the clear, and they can pretty much count on our vote. Except when they go to a forum last Friday in Sheridan, Wyoming. I have to tell you, my friends, it's not that often that I get such a treasure trove out of one piece of audio. In fact, I think the last time that this happened was the very first interview I did with Gail Simmons. Yeah, that thing is an endless supply of frontier Republican bullcrap. Here is what Representative Crago said in his opening statement, and then we'll talk about it.
Thanks, Richard. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Barry Crago. I'm a conservative Republican running for re-election to House District 40.
Stop! I can't go any further. We have to talk about this right now. If this guy's a conservative Republican, he must think that conservatism does not mean smaller government or less spending or less government overreach or any of that stuff. Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but anyhow, he is not a conservative. And that will become abundantly clear by the end of this episode. All right, well, here's some more of what he had to say in his opening statement.
We need to work on protecting our young girls and our young boys from the woke movements coming from outside of Wyoming. We need to continue to work on a conservative budget in the state, something we've done over the last couple years and we need to continue doing.
Let's take this a piece at a time. That first part, protecting our kids, our pretty precious little children, from the woke agenda. You don't suppose that he's talking about Senate File 51, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act, do you? Well, of course not, because, you know, he's one of the ones that voted to not even introduce it for discussion on the floor. Of course, he'll tell you that his vote wasn't a vote against the bill. If you believe that, I've got some beachfront property somewhere around Guernsey to sell you. Well, he and all of his redcoat buddies voted against introducing that bill onto the floor so that it wouldn't even have a chance of passing the House of Representatives. That was the result of that vote. Sure as heck sounds like it's a vote against the bill to me. So now, let's talk about this whole business of reducing spending. This is a fascinating discussion. In fact, let's listen to that part again.
We need to continue to work on a conservative budget in the state, something we've done over the last couple years, and we need to continue doing.
Sorry, a conservative budget. Well, you know, the guy is so confused about what exactly a conservative is, so he might actually believe that voting to increase government spending by $113 million over and above what the governor had requested might be conservative. According to Evidence-Based Wyoming, on their scoring of legislators, how they performed in the budget session, Representative Crago scores a paltry 38.2%. The very next person below him is Spendy McSpenderson, Redcoat Bob Nicholas. Bob Nicholas is the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and that guy will spend money on anything. In any case, he's nowhere near any of the conservatives in the House of Representatives. You know, guys like Representative John Baer or Chuck Gray or Mark Jennings. Yeah, Representative Crago is way down on the list with the likes of Mike Greer and Bob Nicholas. And just a quick reminder, everything I'm referencing in this episode is available on the website at the show content tab. The bills that I'm about to reference and the link to Evidence-Based Wyoming, it's all there so that you can read it yourself. Don't trust me. Do your own homework so that you know the facts. So where were we? We realized that there's no protecting our children from the woke agenda, and we really don't care about spending. Listen to this next piece.
Regarding taxes, you know, right now everybody's focused on property taxes, which is the one that's sort of the top of everybody's mind, as we all got, especially in this part of the world, we got tax assessments that came back 30, 40, 50%, some people more than that, but the average in Johnson County, for example, was 35%. That was the average increase for people in Johnson County. And so that's one of the first things I really want to tackle. I mentioned it in my opening statement. I think we all need to work together, because it's not going to be, there's lots of options for solving that problem in particular. And we just got to figure out one that we can all agree on, whether it's changing going to an acquisition type basis on the taxes, whether it's a cap, whether it only applies to folks over a certain age.
Okay, so there's lots of options to solve this whole property tax thing. And there's two specific areas in this state that property values have been steadily increasing over the past several years. One of them is in Johnson County, and the other one, as we all know, is Teton County. This isn't a new problem at all, especially in Johnson County. It's just with this last tax bill that everybody received, they increased a lot. Representative Mark Jennings introduced House Bill 109, which was an acquisition study bill. That was to see if it was feasible to switch our tax system over to an acquisition-based system. And to his credit, Representative Crago did vote in favor of that bill. But he didn't co-sponsor it. He didn't offer another bill of his own. In fact, he didn't do anything except say aye when the vote came up, which, again, that's a good thing. But when the representative says that there's lots of things that can be done, why didn't he offer them? Why didn't he bring a bill? Why didn't he co-sponsor a bill? This is a classic case of let's wait and see if somebody else introduces a bill. So when Representative Crago says this is on the top, one of the things that are on the top of his agenda, we have to ask the question of why didn't you do that already? Good question. Maybe we should ask him. Now let's switch gears a little bit and talk about weed. Listen to this.
Thank you. Again, it's an easy answer, but I would just put a couple comments on top of that. If you look at where places it has gone, it's grown government. You have to have additional regulatory agencies, so that costs us money. I'm not even sure the tax revenue from the marijuana will cover the additional cost to government. And so on top of all the societal problems it causes, I'm worried about the budgetary side of it as well. So against.
That seems pretty clear cut, doesn't it? No equivocation there. Well, for this year, anyhow. 2021? Different story. There was House Bill 82 of 2021. That one was medical marijuana, and Representative Crago voted aye in the Judiciary Committee. And then there was House Bill 209, which was the regulation of pot. Again, Representative Crago voted aye in the Judiciary Committee.
On top of all the societal problems it causes, I'm worried about the budgetary side of it as well, so against.
There really are two ways to look at this whole pot situation. We could say that we're really happy that he came to his senses and he's not going to vote for pot anymore. But how is this any different than Senate File 51, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act? He basically voted to kill the bill, and then he comes home and tells us that we have to, well, let's listen to what he said again.
We need to work on protecting our young girls and our young boys from the woke movements coming from outside of Wyoming.
Well, bravo. But if that's what he believes, why didn't he vote for the most obvious bill in the 2022 legislative session? It is completely obvious to all of us that we need to keep little boys out of little girls' sports. And yet these jokers in Cheyenne voted to not even discuss it on the floor of the House of Representatives. What I'm showing you is a pattern. They vote one way in Cheyenne, and they come home and they tell us something entirely different. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll continue with the historical revisionism. And now, a completely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or a giant warehouse, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. So it doesn't really matter what type of metal structure you've got in mind. Give Nick and Jesse a call, and they can handle all the details. 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Right now is the highest we've ever seen gun markets, and the best performers are the vintage collectible firearms, Winchesters, Colts, and rare military weapons. Over in Cody, Gunrunner Auctions is one of the leading online auction houses in the country, and they're celebrating their 23rd year. Gunrunner Auctions is unique in that their specialty is estate firearms. They get calls all week long about lifelong gun collections coming to auction. Scott Weber, the owner, has been into firearms for almost 60 years, and he'll travel to the estate where he first appraises the firearms for the heirs and then takes them to his Cody auction facility where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum to learn more about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his crew post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of them start at $20 with no reserve. Gunrunner Auctions only charges 15% for selling your firearms. They've sold the personal collections of Elvis Presley, Steve McQueen, Alex McCord, and Herb Parsons, just to name a few. With their 40,000 bidders in all 50 states, they'll realize the highest prices for your precious firearms. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, and tell everybody you know about it. Of course, I'll post all of the episodes there, but also anything I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. And if you want to catch up with me on other places in social media, you can find me at Truth Social. It's at David Iverson. Or if you really feel the need to wade into the swamp that is Twitter, you can find me there at David Dom Iverson. Not that long ago, we finished the Save America rally that was held in Casper, Wyoming, where President Trump was there and about 10,000 other people. Well, now, coming to Lander, Wyoming, on July 22nd is the Save Wyoming rally. You're going to hear conservative speakers from across this great state of Wyoming, including Mark Jennings, Chuck Gray, Harriet Hageman, and your illustrious host, along with a huge list of others. So put that on your calendar, July 22nd in Lander, Wyoming. As we get closer to the event, we'll have lots of details on Cowboy State Politics. So just stay tuned, keep your ears peeled, and I'll let you know everything that's happening there. And now, back to the program. Allow me to give you one more example.
So over the last couple years as the representative for House District 40, I worked hard to solve what I would say many of the day-to-day problems of our great state. I approached each of these problems with common sense and an open mind. I listened to the constituents. I tried to communicate with them often, as much as possible, email, phone. Because I have found the constituents usually have the answers to our problems if we're just willing to listen to them.
So he listened to his constituents. The citizens of House District 40 would be a better way to put it. Anybody remember the Dan Zwanitzer situation? If you've been listening to the program for a long time, you know that I've spent an inordinate amount of airtime talking about the whole situation concerning Dan Zwanitzer. But for our new listeners, let me just quickly explain what was going on. Dan Zwanitzer, who represented House District 43 and still does, bought a house outside of his district inside House District 10. Now, Wyoming law says that you absolutely have to live in the district that you represent, and if you move out, it creates an immediate vacancy in the legislature. With the help of several conservatives across the state, Cowboy State Politics amassed a veritable mountain of evidence against Representative Dan Zwanitzer. We were able to prove conclusively that he did not and does not live in that house in House District 43. To put it another way, there are people sitting in Leavenworth right now who had less evidence against them. And I gave it all to Representative Barry Crago. I even called him to make sure that he got the email. And what did he do when he got to Cheyenne? Just like Senate File 51, they voted to not even discuss the matter. They even let Dan Zwanitzer vote to not investigate himself. Here is Redcoat Speaker of the House Eric Barlow explaining what the motion was.
Members, we are voting on the motion. And I'm just going to paraphrase it. Should the House convene a special committee to investigate the complaints concerning whether Representative Zwanitzer is qualified to continue serving in the legislature based on his residence and make recommendations to the full House on the matter. And it also had conditions about how the special committee that subjected the special committee to certain conditions, A through G. This requires a majority vote of the members of the quorum, meaning the members seated in this chamber today. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
So there's the motion, and I've posted a link to the YouTube video at cowboystatepolitics.com. The whole thing takes less than 10 minutes. Now, the resulting vote is they voted to not even investigate whether or not Dan Zwanitzer lived in that house in House District 43, but it was a much bigger issue. They voted to not investigate whether one of their members had voted for over an entire year illegally. Add on top of that, that Representative Dan Zwanitzer is the co-chairman of the Corporations Committee. That's the committee that's responsible for redistricting in the state of Wyoming. Think about that. One of the guys in charge of reapportioning the entire state of Wyoming was not even legally allowed to be there, and they voted to not even find out if he was. Pretty shocking. Now, in the YouTube video, you can only barely hear them vote not to investigate, because none of them wanted to be on record saying that they didn't want to even look at this thing. Here's Representative Barry Crago's vote. The audio of him saying no is really distorted because I had to amplify it so much to even tell if he gave an answer. The reason why he was so quiet is he didn't want the cameras to pick him up voting not to investigate. You know, because he's the deputy Johnson County attorney and all. Anyhow, you can tell that Representative Crago said no.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Connolly. Crago. Duncan. Eklund. Ayer.
See what I mean? They didn't want to be anywhere near this thing. You can find almost everything I sent to Representative Barry Crago on the website. I believe the link says All Things Dan Zwanitzer. What is not included in that package are items that I redacted myself because they contain personal details of Representative Dan Zwanitzer. However despicable I might think that guy is, we don't need to be exposing personal details. You see, I have standards. One more thing. Representative Barry Crago is the Deputy Johnson County Attorney. That means he works for the prosecutor's office. Now, Representative Crago handles all the civil matters, but still, he works for the guy that investigates crime, and he, of all people, should know where there's smoke, there's fire, and if you're presented with a giant mountain of evidence that one of your colleagues is operating outside of the law, you should probably find out if that's true or not. And after the conservatives were defeated in that vote, everybody went over to congratulate Representative Dan Zwanitzer. He wasn't exonerated in that vote, not in the least. They did what they always do. They voted to not even talk about it, just like Senate File 51, the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. But if you listen to all of them, I'm sure they'll have all sorts of justifications as to why they voted one way or another. But Wyoming citizens don't care about justifications or nuances or the claimed complexities of an issue. We look at things in terms of right and wrong. Following the law is right. Not following the law, especially when you're an elected official, is definitely wrong. Now, maybe you think I'm playing rough with Representative Crago, and you might be right about that. But he's my representative, and I hold him to a higher standard. I know about all the redcoats down in Cheyenne, and I definitely don't expect my representative to be one of them. And the truth is, all of us, all Wyoming citizens, should hold our elected officials to a high standard because they are our representative. It's all about accountability. They must be accountable to us. We wouldn't allow our children to tell us one thing and let them go do another. In fact, we'd probably give them a pretty solid spanking for it. So why are our elected officials any different? I know sometimes they behave like children, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't hold them accountable for what they do. And maybe that's more to the point. Actions always speak louder than words. I just played for you several sound bites from a forum that was held in Sheridan this past Friday. Being charitable, a lot of it was historical revisionism. And again, Representative Crago has an open invitation to come on Cowboy State Politics at any time. Anytime he wants. I'm more available than our local radio station. I'd like to end today's episode with another curious soundbite that happened at that forum in Sheridan. Now, here's candidate Gary Miller, who is running against my friend Ken Pendergraft in House District 29. Listen to this. They were talking about crossover voting. This is pretty incredible.
But I did do a little research, and it's actually a more interesting problem than we think. The United States Constitution says that anybody can vote in any primary they want.
No, it doesn't say that. He's referring to the 24th Amendment. Let me read it to you, and I quote, "The right of the citizens of the United States to vote in any primary or other election for president or vice president, for electors, for president or vice president, or for Senate or representative in Congress shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state by reason of failure to pay any poll tax or other tax." End quote. He needs to do a little bit more research, you know, like read to the end of the paragraph. I mean, it's only a couple of sentences long. But what is particularly curious about this comment is this is an argument that's being used across the state of Wyoming to justify crossover voting. Gary Miller may be pretty good with finance, but he obviously failed English when he attended college. If you'd like to hear the whole forum, Ken posted it on the Ramble Room. I've put a link at the website on the show content tab, and you can just click on it and listen to the whole thing. It really is a pretty interesting forum, and I have to say, our buddy Ken Pendergraft did an amazing job. In fact, I might say that he crushed that forum. Here's one little piece that he had to say.
Very first thing we have to do is get it through the heads of the people in Cheyenne that Wyoming does not have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. What we have to do is go back to the Constitution, which I did just this week. I went back and read the Wyoming Constitution again from this perspective. What does the Constitution require us to do? How can we do that efficiently and effectively and execute that plan? And anything else that comes out there goes away. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science.
Good job, my friend. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.